Twins. I'm really honored to be sharing with you today. For those who are new to our church, we welcome you. I am a mom of a pair of twins. They are toddlers. They're 2 years old right now, and their names are Sophie and Zachy. And so what you saw in the video, I could probably relate to later on. Right now, they just scheme to get to each other. They pull each other's hair and hit each other sometimes. But later on, they might scheme together against the parents. So please pray for us. as a young mom, I often would feel like inadequate in many ways. My twins are the first children we're having. And a lot of questions that will come up as I'm raising the twins with my husband. We would ask, like, are we doing this right? Are we raising them right? Am I supposed to do that? Am I being too lenient? And then the next moment is like, am I being too harsh on them when I punish them? There's a lot of uncertainties and questions that we ask as moms. And every day we're learning something new about parenting. And today I chose a scripture, it's in your bulletin as well, from Philippians 4, verses 8 to 9 and verses 12 to 13. I'll just read it to you. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this or all things through him who gives me strength. This is the word of the Lord. So one thing that we know about moms is that we all worry, right? And there were days when I wake up, you know, before anyone else did, I would be still lying in bed and I would be thinking about this mental to-do list. And then I'll wake up feeling anxious and overwhelmed and worried before I even start my day. And in this scripture that we just read here, Paul is teaching us to think about things that are true, that are noble, lovely, admirable, pure, excellent, and worthy of praise. Then the peace of God will be with us. So finally, one morning, when I was feeling this way again, I woke up and then the mental to-do list comes up, I was feeling the slump again, and I remember this verse and said to myself, you know what, that's it. I refuse to continue to feel this way. I don't want to start off my day feeling kind of down and in this way. So I began to read verses from Psalms. So I just looked at my phone quickly and just start declaring it. It reminds me of God's promises and his unfailing love and how we should continue to give thanks to God in all circumstances. So in a way, you know, it's a battle for moms, right? You know, my logical nature wants to go to the to-do list part, but the Holy Spirit is pulling me away from that and from what we're learning from the scripture today to think about things that are, in a way that's more positive and encouraging. So, you know, we have to make a choice about what we let ourselves think about and dwell on into our minds. And another struggle that I have with parenting is trying to balance the different parts of my life, such as spending time with the kids, spending time with husband, and we all should have some date nights, right? And my work, right now I'm working part-time, but I know a lot of moms here also work full-time, and also serving in various ministries. Every year I take a team to China, to missions trip. And so there's different things I'm planning and working around schedules. Oh, and I'm not even counting about like exercising and eating healthy. So I often wonder, well, how much portion of time should I give to each thing? And how can I balance this life of a mom? Then my husband reminded me that actually, you can never be 100% balanced. And we're not supposed to be 100% balanced. If we look at Jesus' life, he lived a life that was full of grace and truth at the same time. It wasn't like 50% grace and then 50% truth. He was living 100% grace and truth at the same time. And that's what we call a paradox. And there are times, he would act in truth and smash the merchant tables and whip the animals in the temple. And then there were times he acted in grace. He would comfort those who were caught in sin and forgive them. How did he know what to do at the right time? How does he do it? Well, the secret or the key is that he listens to the Father when he makes the move. So for us, you know, we want to be in a place where we can recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit's leading. And this applies to parenting as well. While on the one hand, it's good to be prepared and read a lot of books, and there's tons of online stuff about parenting and planning ahead. But we all know that each child is unique and each circumstance is unique. And a lot of times we just have to operate on the spot as the Spirit leads and just go with it. For example, this morning, after Larry, my husband, and my mother-in-law left, because they left early for Sunday school and Chinese worship, Zach and Sophie started to have a meltdown. Because Zach saw Daddy leaving and saw, you know, the car leaving and everything, and just tears is rolling down his eyes, and just start screaming and everything. And then it's just me and the twins, and I'm supposed to get them ready and get here by 10:30. And suddenly, I just, you know, got this idea of, why don't I turn on some Mandarin worship kids music that I let them listen to sometimes before we go to sleep. I start playing that, and all of a sudden they start to calm down, like not right away, but like gradually. And I thought later on, I was like, you know, that's the Holy Spirit. That was just that decision that, you know, God maybe gave me this inspiration to just play this music, and suddenly they calmed down, and then I was able to move on. So, you know, for us as parents, when we're dealing with kids, sometimes it's more about discipline, sometimes more about forgiveness. And the key is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guidance. And also not to worry so much about being 100% balanced or being the perfect mom and doing everything correctly by the book. Every parent knows that having children will rock your world, right? Your schedules will be changed, your sleep and your energy and your way of thinking will change. But remember, it is also a great experience in learning to trust God, to give us strength to do all things through Him. No matter how inadequate I feel or how uncertain things can get as your child grows up. In verse 12, it says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. And my children will be growing up in a society and a place where there's going to be all kinds of new challenges coming up, such as different moral values, even perversion in the schools that they, you know, these things will be popping up in the years to come. And they will be facing different kinds of worldviews, very different than the ones that I grew up with. So me and my husband, Larry, Pastor Larry, know that we cannot do this on our own, by our own knowledge, no matter how many books we read or how many, you know, like planning ahead we can do. This is a spiritual matter of prayer and continuing to trust God, that we can only do all things through Him who gives us strength. So may this scripture continue to bless you and encourage you today.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, I don't know how many of you have done the Bursting Your Bubble course, but our small group just recently started with it, and one of the things we had to do in there was to redefine in an interesting way what we do. Now, my main job is to be a mom. I'm a full-time mom. I'm a stay-at-home mom. So I thought, how can I put that? And then at some stage it hit me. I work with precious jewels. I'm a jeweler. So I know I have with me a lot of jewelers, gemologists, but I wonder if you're like me, that sometimes you feel like you're making a mess of this job. You might just be doing it wrong. We know that children are a gift from the Lord. It's a reward from the Lord. It's a blessing, and that parenthood is a calling. But do you sometimes feel like you're not up to it, that this is more than you can handle? Now, maybe the older your kids are, the more you've experienced this. if you ever feel terribly guilty about some of the mistakes you've made with your children, then please join the club. I looked online to see what kinds of things mothers out there feel guilty about, and I can relate to most of them. And here are just a few of them. We feel guilty about not playing with our kids enough. We feel guilty about losing our tempers, being impatient and yelling at them. About letting them watch too much TV, leaving them to go to work, or staying at home but being exhausted all the time. We feel bad about not teaching them enough, not always feeding them balanced meals, or being too hard on them, and so on and so on and so on. Now, I don't want to make you feel depressed today on Mother's Day. I want to bring you some encouragement, some good news. Yes, parenthood is a sacred calling, and we do make a multitude of mistakes. But we are not in this alone. Psalm 103, verse 14 says, He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Before the Father chose to give me my precious children, He knew my weaknesses and my shortcomings. He knew precisely in which areas I would struggle. And yet, He thought I would be exactly the right mother, the perfect mother for my specific children, my three children. Now, no matter how many faults you see in yourself, there's no one else that God would rather see mothering your children but you. It's only you. God is not surprised by our sins and our frailties. He knows that we are dust. God also promises that He will complete the good work that He started in us and in our children. In Genesis 28, verse 15, He says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Even though it might sound like the impossible thing, God loves your kids more than you do. He really does. It feels like no one can love our kids more than we do, but He does. And He will ultimately also take care of them. He will grow them. He will shape them. He will even shape them sometimes because of our mistakes. Our mistakes that we make will actually form our kids into more beautiful jewels. Our God is a God who forgives, He heals, and He restores. If we confess our failures to Him, He will forgive us. He will also heal the hurts we caused our children and the pain in our own lives. He will restore everything that needs to be restored and bring forth beauty from ashes. We only need to ask Him. For 33 years, our Jesus walked this earth. He knows the ups and downs of life. He knows what it feels like to wake up in the morning tired, or that you can be happy, sad, and mad all in the space of 10 minutes. He knows how hard it is to be a mother, and He has tremendous compassion on us. He not only feels for us, He does something about it. He intercedes for us faithfully and passionately. Listen to Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16, and this is also in your handout today, in your bulletin. It says, Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You are not in this alone, Mom. There is someone in heaven interceding for you right now. Have a happy Mother's Day and enjoy polishing those gems.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day again and again. I give thanks that 21 years ago, I gave birth to a beautiful baby boy, one who was amazingly alert, had fire and intensity in his eyes, and in his cries, and even his laughter. As I reflect back, when you wait for your child to be born, I'm looking at Wendy, Warren, you prepare so much. You prepare the room, the clothing, you stock up on huge supplies of toilet paper because you think you're never going to leave the house again. You collect all the advice, and you arm yourself with as much information as humanly possible. But then two realities come crashing down very clearly. Number one, you're never prepared enough for the challenges, perseverance, and hard work of parenting. And number two, you are never prepared about how much your heart will grow in love with this beautiful gift from God. There isn't anything you wouldn't do within your power and control to protect and to provide the best for your child. In Exodus chapter 2, it says, "Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the Nile." This is the story of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, the man who led the Israelites out of Egypt from slavery. Jochebed, who, like us, when she gave birth to her child, saw that he was a fine and beautiful child. Moses was born in a time of chaos and instability, when the Pharaoh of Egypt gave an order to the midwives to throw every Hebrew boy that was born into the Nile River. And like most mothers, Jochebed tried to protect her child from the chaos and the evils of her world. But then she soon realized that there wasn't anything more that she could do to protect or provide for her vulnerable 3-month baby. There will be times when we too need to release our child into God's hands and sovereign care, a time to put our child into the papyrus basket and put it among the reeds where we cannot see where they will go. And though our child and what they will be facing is hidden from our sight, we must by faith know that our children and their concerns are not out of the sight of our Lord. Some of you have heard me share this story many, many times before, but I confess this time it's different because now my son is 21 and will be graduating from university in a few weeks. And this challenge just seems that much more difficult. Today I find myself standing at the riverbank once again like Jochebed, realizing it is the time that I have to release my child and put him figuratively into that basket and to release him back to the Lord as an adult for his own faith adventure in this chaotic and confused world, to allow the Lord to continue to bring maturity to the areas that I could not do myself. As I stand here before you today, I'm so sorry, I don't have any tips on how to be a better mother. I don't know how to make it easier. I only know how to love my child. And in my poverty of my soul, I have had to continually return to the one who knit my son in my womb. I need to go back to him over and over again to seek wisdom and counsel on how to love and care for him. I have to turn to my risen Lord, to the one who is the example of unconditional love, the one who died for our sins and rose again and conquered the grave. I have to trust him for his strength and mercy to shape and to form my son's heart and soul, as well as my own. When your child is a baby, it is the first time in your life that you suffer from both an energy and an identity crisis at the same time. No matter how talented or successful you are, you reach those humbling moments when you can't get this little person to eat or sleep or pee or poo. I said to him, can I say that on the pulpit? In this season, you find yourself releasing in prayer to God every meal, every sleep, and even bathroom functions, hoping that your daily routine will go well. In doing so, you learn about God's amazing provision and sustenance of life. Mothers,
please know that the hundreds of small gestures of love, feeding, bathing, burping, and wiping that you do under the blessing of our gracious Lord will be used to show that your child, that he or she is worthy, that these loving acts will somehow build your child's capacity to love others, that your small loving acts help them to see that the love can indeed become flesh. And you don't just show that to your child, you show that to us as you model it for us when you come to church and we see you chasing all your children around. When Chris was 5 months old, I had to face the reality that I would have to return back to work full time and to place him into daycare. And this was a very painful choice for me. I would have to learn to trust the Lord to allow Chris to grow up secure in God's love rather than in my love that would not be as available. There have been seasons where our son has had to struggle with issues with a heart condition, persistent nightmares, relationships with friends, making adjustments to his dad entering ministry as a preteen, teenage moodiness, getting his driver's license, trying to get through the rigors of school. All I can say is through these seasons, I couldn't make the problems go away. I often couldn't even help in a meaningful way. All I could do was pray and hope that I was giving some wisdom to wait on the Lord as my son wrestled with each of these issues. But I'm thankful that where I lacked as a mother, God was able to nurture and provide thousands of small gestures of love to my son when I could not. If I could find a pair of God goggles, I wonder if I would be able to see where God intervened where I could not. Last week when Chris and I were driving downtown, I was sharing with Chris about some frustrations I was having, and I was telling him I just felt like I constantly needed to rant, and it was like, you know, I just had a lot of frustrations. Anyways, I was grateful for my son's response to me. He shared with me how he had learned to face frustrations in his own life. He shared with me how he had learned to set aside a time of prayer every day and how this time of prayer helped him face his own frustrations, or how he could see God remove those frustrations. Lastly, another mother that in the scripture that released her child to the Lord was Hannah, the mother of Samuel. And Hannah was not able to have a child. Hannah felt tremendous despair and shame because in her culture at the time period, a woman's identity was from her ability to bear a child. And though Hannah was dearly loved by her husband, she was in deep anguish. After much weeping, grief, and prayer before the Lord, she released her burden of barrenness to the Lord. And God answered her prayer. She bore a son. Hannah, however, released her son to the Lord's service by bringing him to the priest, Eli, to serve in the house of the Lord at a young age. And over time, Samuel would be one to anoint David to be king, the lineage from where Christ would be born. Today, what has the Lord nurtured in your heart that you need to release to him? Is it a burden, a dream, a role, an expectation, or even a person who is dear to you? Today, what may the covenant-keeping God of Moses and David be asking you to release to him for his glory and for the furtherance of his kingdom? And in closing, I just want to read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, 2-1. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will begin over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. And then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance.